course, right there.
Dial 1-818 and then this number.
All right, now, if we don't get a hold of this this office number, as Brian was saying, we have his neighbor, Norm, who said that he can go and give Bert any message that we need him to
give. Knock on his door, he's got a cellular phone.
Yeah, so we'll just, we'll deal with that.
Well,
just...
I think Bert makes house calls, doesn't he?
If he doesn't, he sure should.
Davy Jones of the Monkees is in the room, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we on? There we go. Yeah, we're putting the headphones.
Okay.
Calling Bert Convey's office. Bert Convey.
Which is the neighbor next door?
Norm.
That'll be the next call we'll make.
Will Bert be getting up? He won't be mad. He's he was dancing all night, you know.
Hi, this is Bert and Bert Productions. Please leave a message at the tone.
Okay, we're calling Norm.
Your call.
All right, Bert and Bert.
Leave a message for Bert if you would.
Bert, this is Davy Jones here.
No, you wait for the tone.
Yes,
we do it in America.
This is Davy Jones here, and I wanted to call you and tell you we're trying to reach you. You know, we're looking forward to some possible challenge, a tap off on Friday.
Mark and Brian show, Bert. We want you to come down and be with us for the big 4th of July prefab.
Everybody just loving you.
Davy Jones right here.
And you can bring Bert with you if you'd like to. Bert and Bert.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you very much. Davy Jones
right,
there for
goodbye.
You. All right, there's that schmooze right there. Use Davy as much as we could.
Let's call his neighbor.
All right, here we go.
All right, dial that if you could.
Okay, is that an 818 with a 1 in
front? No, just dial the number straight.
You know the reason we didn't get him?
Because we're not playing Johnny Damn Horton. I guess that's the reason. You betcha.
All right, Davy Jones dialing our phone now.
818.
Which is pretty much the way it should be.
822-822.
You dial worse than we do, man. We thought we were the worst.
Well, it's difficult. Go around this mic and hang so up. Big.
You can just hang it up.
You guys need big mics. The big mic will be
we have
o'clock.
Big mic. Always know that.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Always know that.
You got to butter up your mics.
Sorry, your call cannot be
called. Really good job, Davy. Thanks a lot. Really super job there.
I'll try it.
All right, Davy's been fired as the phone dialer at this point. Back to it ourselves.
Maybe it is 818.
For a minute, I thought that was Johnny Horton.
It is.
Big Johnny Horton fan?
Big Johnny Horton fan. He's the only guy that I can talk to.
Yes, sir, Norm.
That's me.
All right, hang on, Norm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Norm?
Yeah.
This is Mark and Brian on KLOS. Is it okay we put you on the air?
Oh, sure.
First of all, Norm, say hello to Davy Jones.
Hey, Davy.
Hello there. Nice to talk to you.
Good.
Now, you live, what, four doors down from Bert?
About 4 or 5 doors away, yeah.
All right. And Norm, tell us some of the things you've seen concerning Bert.
Well, I've seen him 2 times being picked up by a big limousine.
Mm-hmm.
I've driven by and honked at him. He's not a very friendly guy.
He doesn't wave?
He gives me a little smile, that's about it.
Never invite you over for a barbecue?
Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm. Norm,
well, probably he thought you were poking fun at him when you hung.
Right, Norm, does Bert get out and, crank up the weed eater, edge the lawn, and trim the hedges?
No, he has not a very big lawn. It's all sidewalks.
Have you ever seen Bert without his shirt on?
Oh, yeah.
Does he water
the cement?
No hair on his chest.
Although, that's what we were wondering.
Well, I have 1 hair on my chest, and every time the wind blows, it cracks like a whip.
Norm, Davy Jones of the Monkees right
here.
There.
Norm.
Davy Jones.
He's right here sitting right by us.
Bring him over.
Yeah. So you've got a cellular phone, right?
I do.
Can you go tape a note on his door, or maybe knock on his door and see if he's home?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm on my home right now.
Actually, you should take his door, because that would really make him sit.
Davy Jones is here.
The Monkees. Davy Jones is
sitting right here in the studio.
Norm,
like you to meet Davy Jones.
All the Monkees?
Yeah, they're going to be here at 9 o'clock, all of them.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, now, Norm, what were you saying about taking a note down?
Well, I live close by. I thought what I'd do is, in the area that I'm in, the cellular phone doesn't pick up too well. So I thought if you want to, we'll write a note right now. I'll slap it on his door on the way to work.
Okay. All right. We just want you to let Bert know that we have all of the Monkees on our show, and the first thing they all mentioned when they came in was that they wanted to know if Bert Convey was going to be our special guest
right.
on Friday.
And we're really going to take total care of him.
We put on Jim Nabors for this, so you know we're serious.
Yeah. Be sure and put that on the note now.
Pre-July the 4th.
Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Davy Jones is
right
there.
Appreciate it.
Davy Jones in the studio. Today.
I am standing up. What do you mean?
So, Norm, could you just write a note and say how much we really do need him down there to be our one and only celebrity next to, of course, the...
Start?
What?
What time does it start on Friday?
7.
What time do you want him there?
7 or 8. We like 8 o'clock. We don't want him to get up too early.
He's a megastar, and it doesn't matter what time he arrives.
Should wear a particular outfit or anything is okay?
Well, we got an Uncle Sam outfit. We'll dress him in.
Okay.
You might not want to mention that in the letter. Might not go over that well.
Now, knowing him... As little as you do, do you think he's the kind of guy that may go for this?
Oh, I think he would.
You really do?
If he receives this note, yes, absolutely.
Okay, then.
I don't think they know.
I put we love you, Mark and Brian, and P.S., something sexy from yourself. Okay?
I will do it.
Norm, you're very kind to help us out. Got a Cobb lubricating wand for you.
I love it.
Listen, can we call you later?
Yeah.
Or why don't you call in on your cellular phone, knock on his door, see if he's home, and explain it to him. And if he's not there, just leave the note.
You got it.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Thanks, Norm.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
All right.
Okay, well, that piece of business is done, but there's so much more yet to be done.
It's a busy, 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 busy day.
Yes, it is. We are expecting the other monkeys around 9 o'clock this morning, so we do invite you to stand by for
Davy Jones is here, though. Don't know if you've noticed it or not, but he's right here in the studio.
I thought Peter was coming. I'm sure he's on his way.
Hopefully so.
I hope so.
Okay. All right, well, let's take a break. We did have news and views, and Chuck's got it for us.
8 o'clock straight up. We'll be back on KLOS.
I haven't lost it, have I?
No, you haven't, not a bit. Man, it seems like always, man.
Than I used to.
So here's the status. Davy Jones leaves because Mickey is here now. He's waiting in another studio for 9 o'clock when we all get him together. But I guess they had to be separately interviewed. And that's the deal.
Well, that's pretty neat because they really did. Mickey walked in. Davy stood. They shook hands. Davy exited. Mickey sat down.
Actually, we kicked Davy out. He was talking way too much.
We've done this a lot of times, and we discovered that you get more than one or two, and it gets just ridiculous, especially with you two wacko.
Well, now, let us, before we go any further, let us first of all find out exactly. Now, this is going to be the first time that you four have been together in a professional sense since 20 years?
21? 22? 35? What are you saying there, Mickey?
You're right! You've won! It's 22 years! You won the free Vietnamese village! The complete Samsonite white! And a trip on Apollo 19!
Got a lot in common with Davy, doesn't he?
Wow!
Wow! Deal.
Wow!
But thanks for taking our show.
Well,
choosing our show for...
You guys are super.
This just came down, folks.
Town yesterday. I landed from England just, you know, a couple of days ago, and I get into town, and, you know, so many different things are happening, and I'll be very honest, with the honest God truth, the first thing that somebody said to me was, I got to listen to the show, and I wasn't getting up that early, so I... Mm-hmm.
But I just, so you said no.
But it's very good. Where are you guys from?
We came here from Birmingham.
He's from Alabama. I'm from Illinois.
Oh, he's from Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm out here to the big town. The big city boys. I know how it feels.
Tell us this.
I came from Van Nuys.
Is it a unique situation to have all four guys together? You're going to do a little mini tour thing.
This is quite a unique day. This is, for anybody who's into monkey trivia, this is a unique day. This will be the first time we've got together, and certainly the first time we've ever done a radio show or interview in 25 years or 23 years.
Very neat.
Man.
Very neat. And again, thank you for doing our show.
Scoop.
So do you keep in touch with Mike Nesmith? He was the cough button there.
It worked.
Stop it now. Now, have you spoken to Mike?
I saw Mike all day yesterday, and we were talking about a number of projects. Mike and I have worked together a couple times over the years, so mostly in production capacity, though. Mm-hmm. I've been directing and producing behind the cameras, as more power, over the last, 15 years or so. And Mike called me up one day from here. I was in England at the time, and wanted me to direct a few segments of his television series he had on, TV Parts, which I did.
Quite creative show.
Very.
A little
creative.
Too hip for the room, though. Ahead of its time.
8 o'clock. It should have been late night. I mean, yeah. I think he would agree that it should have gone late night right away.
Very creative, though.
He was really strapped by the networks. You know, they really came down on him because I know, I read some of the original scripts. Mm. And the stuff they sent us, I had spitting image. You ever heard of spitting image, the puppets in England? They do satire. Anyway, they're these great satirical puppets they make in the image of famous people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the royal family, and we had this one great sketch written for Mike's show. Well, Prince Charles comes in and says, die, and afraid Prince Willie has done a doo-doo in his nappy, which is translates as done a poo in his diaper.
Yeah.
And NBC sent me a telex, I still have it, that says, I'm sorry, but that line in the script will have to be changed. Oh, there can be no reference to fecal matter.
Fecal matter.
Can't have that.
I can understand being so
matter.
Okay, we have some drums back here, and Mickey was the drummer.
He found them.
Yeah,
first thing he did when he came in the room.
Pretty rotten drums, though.
But now tell
us this. Drummer.
With the Michael Nesmith thing, everybody, with your tour last year and the summer before, people think that there was a falling out between you four. That's not the case you were telling us earlier.
No. Actually, a lot of people have mentioned it. I think it's because, we weren't a group in this classic sense. We didn't grow up together. We didn't move in together. We weren't brothers, or something like that. So when we met...
Didn't like each other much, from what you understand.
When we were introduced in 1966, how you guys are going to be the Monkees, it was a very professional kind of relationship. And it's remained so. I mean, we've hung out, at times over the years. But basically, we were... I was an actor at the time. I had my own rock and roll group, a couple of rock and roll groups, and I had one at the time called Mickey and the One-Nighters.
You playing drums then? Or?
No, I was playing guitar, and I'm doing Louie Louie. Yeah, Lafayette Ballroom in Denver, Colorado. We'll be back in 5 with more jazz. Little Mickey and the One-Nighters. Hey,
just doing that lounge thing.
Little velvet collars and your spangly suits. And then I remember the Beatles came out and the Stones and everybody like growing their hair as fast as you could.
Right.
Hanging from the ceiling by your hair.
Grunting. How are the auditions for the Monkees for the television show? Was it just a cattle call of people and? Or did they come to you and say, hey...
No, I didn't go to the mass auditions.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, I had rather my own career.
Slept with the director, did you?
No, I had a private audition because I had a television show when I was a kid, and I'd been acting. I've been doing some guest shots on Peyton Place and Mr. Novak. Remember that?
Oh, sure.
So when
you
I...
You do?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Novak. All right, go with it. Go ahead.
Guess that was before my time.
It's just a bowl of carrots, but I remember. I remember the quake of 71. I was here. You young kids.
So the auditions were very intensive, though. I mean, I went for my first private audition and talked to the producers, and then they had a reading, and then came back. And the auditions were just as much musical as they were acting and improvisational. They were the most intensive interviews I'd ever been to. Mm. Usually they were just a reading for the part. Mm. But I had to play. I played guitar and sang Johnny B. Good. That was my audition piece.
Ooh. How'd it go?
Well, I got
must,
the part.
Must have gone well. I mean, did you feel like, I think I got it. I think I'm going to be a monkey.
It was much too long. It went on and on, months. And they started out with like 400 or 500 kids. I wasn't at like a big mass audition. Then it got down to, I don't know, maybe 30 or something. Mm-hmm. And that's, I remember when it was about 18 or 20 guys. Mm-hmm. We started meeting each other then at the auditions. And it was all like, hi, how you doing, you son of... Why won't you die? Curses, guys are showing up with like garlic and stuff to like ward off the evil spirits.
Now, during the auditions, did you realize it was going to be innovative television? For that time, it really was.
I did.
Cuts to other shots and other scenes.
I didn't know what the style was going to be. I mean, it was very obvious that it was capitalizing and going to exploit the pop kind of scene at the time, which was, of course, happening. Mm-hmm. But I'd been to a lot of auditions just in that month for, that was pilot season, for similar shows. I mean, there were two or three producers that were trying to get on a youth pop show because it was obviously going to be a market. There was a show that I was up for, like Peter, Paul, and Mary. Was three folk singers traveling around in a beat-up old Volkswagen caravan. And then there was a Beach Boys kind of a show that was going to be surf and sand and kind of a television gidget, kind of a show. But
Harry missed that.
Yeah, well, they never got on the air because... Yeah. What Bert Schneider and Bob Rafelson had and did, which no one else had done, is capture the spirit of this pop, improvisational, anything goes, right. Catch it while it can, which was bloody difficult to do. And the show was very difficult to produce from a production standpoint because you were asking me about the scripts. Yeah, we had a script. But we were encouraged to improvise.
Good.
Whereas usually you were discouraged always.
Well, you could see that, though. You could tell that was pretty much that case.
So they would, like, set us up in a situation, a good, solid, classical kind of bad guy, good guy situation or a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And like very much like the Marx Brothers, which is what I think we were much closer to than, say, the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Much more like the Marx Brothers. And let us go. And we would do it, and they cast us for our ability to, like, do these kind of things and pull it off, more often than not. But they would shoot an enormous amount of film, and then in editing, they would just cut it
together.
You had no say-so in editing at all? Or did
oh,
you
no, but one wouldn't have any say-so. One wouldn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your job.
Mm-hmm.
The editor, Jerry Shepard, was a brilliant editor. And the directors were great. You know, Jim Frawley had an enormous influence in the style and the flavor of the show. And then, basically, they set us up in an environment where we could party. And it was like
on
every
film.
Morning you'd show up and you'd go, "Hey, guys, how's it going? Oh, where's the camera?
Yeah.
Lights. Who's
party
the bad guy
film.
This week? Mm-hmm. All right, boogie."
How long did it take from the moment it started being aired on television that you knew that, hey, this is going to be big?
About 3 months.
And that's when it really caught on.
Well, no, it caught on before that, but I wasn't outside of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I remember noticing that something was, you know, was happening was Christmas of 67, I guess it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
The show aired in September, right? So we were still in the studio, of course, filming. And there was kids showing up, you know, at the gate, you know, once in a while when you went home.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back to my favorite mall, you know, to do my Christmas shopping in December,
mm-hmm.
out in the valley. Mall I'd been to all my life, shopping out there in Van Nuys. And I walked in the door, you know, with my, you know, just ready to do my shopping, and suddenly, I thought there'd been a fire, a lion escaped. I had no idea. And I was just surrounded and clobbered. And then I said, "Holy moly, something going on in this town."
Yeah.
And that's when I kind of really first twigged it. But I knew, I didn't know, but I had a real good feeling about it. I remember when, even after the first interview, I said, "Geez, I really want this part." And I told my agent, "This one I want." Because
mm-hmm.
I could tell that there was going to be something different about it.
Yeah.
You never know whether it's going to be a hit. You never know whether it's going to get on the air.
No, that one seemed
to work. But I knew there was something different about it.
It was different. Mickey Dolenz is here. Davy Jones is here.
Peter's
to arrive. Yeah, Peter Tork will be here.
And then Mike Nesmith for a history-making event on radio.
First time in 20-some-odd years the Monkees reunited on this very program.
And they chose our show to do this.
Yes, they did. So thank them for that.
Your guess is as good as ours why they did this. But
What's
that over there?
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And we can't do this yet.
What? I'll do it.
We've talked way too long.
We got to get out.
We are going to get out.
Music. Music.
See you, Mickey.
All right.
We're going to be back.
We're in delay now. We're out.
Hey, Todd.
Yes.
How are you, buddy?
Tremendous, my friend.
Okay. I'm sorry we have to rush through this because we got the Monkees thing.
Big day for the Monkees.
Radio history being made here on the Mark.
I used to wear a stocking cap over my head just like Michael Nesmith.
No, you didn't.
Even in the summertime.
With four buttons and stuff?
Even in the summer. So.
Wow, that's because you never washed your hair.
That's
you know, we can see you in that.
Yeah.
We can feel that.
Yeah. Back when I was in junior high school. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Let's get through this real quick because I know you're busy.
Market Brian program.